We are going to continue on today talking about how to gain spiritual momentum. Going into a new year, how we can shed some of the stuff that brought us down last year and have a fresh start and build some new habits and some hope to grow in our walk with God this year in some new ways. And so maybe there's been feelings, you know, of like I want to get to that place where I just feel closer to God and it's just more real in my life. But I just feel stuck. And how do I do that? How can I feel God in a fresh, new, alive way? And so we've been talking about momentum and what that means. And that snowball gaining speed and size and strength has kind of been our emblem for this topic and this definition that the strength or force that allows something to continue or to grow stronger or faster as time passes. And so how can we translate that concept into our spiritual lives to feel stronger and growing and more solid and more secure in our walk with God? And we've talked about several ideas these last few weeks, and we started off talking about how we each have a spiritual pathway. What that means is we all have a specific way where we probably best connect with God that others might not. The person sitting next to you might not connect with God in the same way you do. And that's great. It's fun. It just makes life more interesting. God is so diverse and so multifaceted in the way He meets us. It has to do with how He's created us, and He's made us all wonderfully different. Maybe you connect with Him on an intellectual level, or a relational level, or being out in creation, or being alone contemplating life, or supporting a cause as an activist, or just serving Him in some way, or just letting yourself go in worship. Whatever one of those pathways resonates with you the most, we've been really trying to encourage each other to find that out and lock into it. And don't let more than a week go by where you don't have an opportunity to meet God in the way that you best connect with Him. And then last week, we talked about finding your people. And an important part of gaining momentum and really kickstarting our spiritual lives is to have others in our life that are really, that we can trust, that we're seeing on a regular basis, or at least talking to, that are going to encourage us and going to spark us and going to sharpen us and help us, because we weren't created to do any of this by ourselves. And we need others in our life. We need at least one person that is committed, just like we're committed to them, to helping each other along the spiritual journey that we're all on together. So finding our people. And so today we're going to talk about a third. Pastors just love P words. I don't know why. They just present themselves in lots of fun ways. So, but spiritual momentum builders, from pathway and people to priorities. So today we're going to talk about how that's such a big deal to arrange our lives according to how God created us to fulfill our purpose. And so many times it's just really hard to prioritize what's most important because of so many things flying at us and so many needs that we have, so many wants that we have, so many perceived requirements that are put on us. You know, what do we do next? And it's hard to fit God in. But what we find from looking at what God has revealed to us through His Word is the first step in prioritizing our lives is to fit God in first. And I want to tell you several stories today that come out of the New Testament in the Bible. And this first one has to do with Jesus trying to console and encourage all those that are flocking around Him. And He calls them His little flock. And He says, "Don't worry, little flock. Your heavenly Father is giving you His kingdom." And so all these things that the rest of the world chases after, possessions and riches and tries to dress themselves up in fancy ways, and all these things that everybody's striving for, you don't have to do. That's not what's going to meet your heart's desire. Start off like this. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And those words simply mean, the best way to translate God's kingdom is God's way of life. Seek His way of life. And being in a right relationship with Him. And all those other things that you're spending all this time chasing after and stressing over, He's going to throw those in and add those in. He knows what you need. But you're never going to get to a place of even enjoying those things and being content and satisfied with those things until you start off right and you start off with your Heavenly Father and living for Him. That is what comes first. Okay, so maybe you were wondering what's under this little tablecloth. Not a magician, but this is going to take a little added practice. It's holy nerves, right? Still everything. Okay, maybe you've seen this before, I don't know. But when I first saw this, it made so much sense to me. And this picture of, well, pretend all these little rocks right here are from your finances to your kids to your jobs to all the pressures and demands that are out there. All the dreams and ambitions that you have, that you're working so hard to have and get fulfilled in your life. You know, those trips you want to take, those things you want to accomplish, those milestones you want to hit. So many things that we try to pour into our life. Its place and filter in around in its time, that's going to be what feels best and fits our purpose in life. And so if we look at God, if we put Him in the center, we kind of think of those three big rocks as our spiritual
walk with Him, which includes our relationship with God, the people in our lives that we're walking through life with, and that we're taking time prioritizing our spiritual pathway on a regular basis. All that stuff will find its place. Some of that stuff is, I thought, shouldn't one of those big rocks be my family, my kids, my marriage? You know what? You're going to be the best spouse. You're going to be a way better spouse when you've got God in the middle. And you start there. Otherwise, if you try to throw your marriage in, or your kids in, or your job in, or anything else, things, you're gonna be missing out on what could be, because you're trying to do things on your own and keeping God at the edge. But with God in the center, all these things get better. Did I actually put sport the closest to that was just a sublime. Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe I did that subconsciously. So I don't know. But what else is in there? Whatever it is, I had to put devices on there. I mean, so many of us just want that latest and greatest thing that can draw so much attention and be such a priority in our life. But we need to push those things out to the edge and fill our lives up first with what's really important. And then let God take things from there. Let Him fill in the gaps after that. And then those gaps will get filled in right the way He wants them to be. What's going to be best for us, because He knows what's best for us. So that first step in building momentum through our priorities is centering our lives around God. This means looking out. This takes some planning. Looking out over our calendar year. You know, okay, there's going to be conflicts that are going to come up. You know, how am I going to keep God at the center of my life? And then, you know, and start off with that. Start off with making my church family a priority. Being part of a small group. Spending time just one-on-one with God. All those kinds of things. Maybe going on a mission trip. Maybe just going, to a guy's night or a women's night. You know, where are those things taking place? And putting those in our life first, and getting those on our schedule first, and then whatever else can fit in after that, that's fine. We've got our priorities set. But it's going to take some work. It's going to take sitting down with a calendar and really giving our life some space, some much-needed space for God to work with. Okay, I want to tell you another little story. This one might seem kind of harsh at first, but as Jesus is continuing to build followers and gain more and more disciples, many of those with great intentions came along and said, "Lord, I'll follow you." And Jesus would always respond, "Wonderful. It might not be what you think. It might." And so I want you to know that classic line where Jesus says, "The Son of Man," it says, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay his head." You know, we're moving quite a bit. We've got a full travel schedule. It's demanding. And so, are we ready for that? And some said, you know, humbly, yes, we are. Others kind of backed off. And one young man, when Jesus said, "Follow me," he replied, "Lord, first, oh, what a word, first, let me go and bury my father." And what seems like a way too demanding response from Jesus, kind of harsh, Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you, come on, come with me, go and proclaim. People need to hear the good news of the gospel." And so for years, I was troubled by that statement. You dig a little deeper into biblical history and the culture at the time. This was a very common saying that most often, several jokes are running through my head right now. Which one am I going to companionship. Okay, so most of the time, there was no dead father. It wasn't like Jesus is saying, you got to be, no, there's no time. You can't go to your dad's funeral. You got to, we're on our way. We got to get on the bus right now. Get on the caravan. You know, here we go. And so this was one of those spiritual, nice-sounding ways of what was taking place was, it was just an excuse. Most of the time, what it meant, what it really meant, was I need to hang around till my dad dies so I make sure I get what's coming to me. Because there's an inheritance on the line, and I don't trust any of those guys if I'm gone to cut me in on the square deal. And so what that meant, let me stick around and bury my father. Remember when Harry met Sally, when Sally was just crying, and Harry says, what's the matter? What's wrong? And she says all these things, and she goes, and I'm turning 40. He goes, really? One second, I'm going to be birthday's coming. Someday! Yeah, I'm stressed out. I mean, this is one of those things. It's like your dad's going, someday, I'll this kid could have been 23 years old, but the dad is, early 50s here. What he's saying is the equivalent of what do we say when we're trying to sound spiritual when someone invites us into something that might be a little challenging. Here's the little Christian, spiritual sounding blow off. Well, let me pray about that. So, sounds so spiritual. Of course, you know, pray about stuff, but even though it's a pastor, you get so much rejection. If I could put a buck in the jar for every time someone said, let me pray about that. And I don't think I've ever gotten a positive response. Like, God just keeps answering people's prayers with a no to my invitation, I guess. But, so Jesus was challenging this. It's like, yeah, you need to bury your father. You're never going to that light of God, that life-giving energy, if you keep waiting. When is going to be a good time? If you think, nah, it's not a good time right now. When is there ever a good time? I remember a buddy of mine, we were in our 20s, but also complaining about his girlfriend. He was like, well, dude, just break up with her. Is there ever, it's not going to work out. And, well, it'd be this time of year. Well, Valentine's Day. I don't want to do it, because that's coming up. Okay, we get through Valentine's. Well, her birthday's coming up. I don't know, it's not a good time. It's like, her parents are in town. Now it's, it's Thanksgiving, and now it's Christmas. Okay, there's never a good time. It's like, there's just never a good time. And so the time is now to act now and get involved with what God is doing and make that a part of your life. And I learned, speaking of my 20s, I learned this lesson, and I'll never forget it. So when I was doing engineering stuff, and me and my dad had a small business, and if you're a small business owner, you know that you just don't get a whole lot of time off. You're working a lot of weekends. I finally remember putting my calculator down on a Sunday afternoon one day, and thank goodness I did, because that was the night I met my wife. Just being a workaholic, and I finally felt like God said, get out of this office. It's like, wow, I did. But as I was involved, I was a volunteer youth leader back at that time. And we had just this fun youth pastor, all these planning trips, river rafting trips, ski trips, all these kinds of things. And I was never going because I just didn't feel like I could commit to a whole weekend thing. I just had deadlines, and just such a deadline-driven type of job that it was just, it was hard to know if you could ever take some time off. And I remember putting them off, and God started playing this little trick on me. It was the most clear-cut signal He's ever given me. Was I remember being so concerned about not meeting the deadline. I said, well, I can't go on this thing. And after everything, it was like that Friday, but everything was too late to go. Got a call that the deadline was being extended. And I'm like, I could have gone on that trip, Mama. It happened again. It happened. happened again, and I was too nervous to go. And that time it was a Monday morning, and I found out that it was going to happen every week. And it was like, and it was such a clear message. I remember the feeling I had being out on the slopes with these teenagers, because Doug had said, you know, there's some kids that I know you're here, you know, they really enjoy, you can teach these kids how to ski, and I'll go in on that ticket with you, and you can have, you know, fun skiing, you know, yourself. That'd be the greatest time. It's what really, it was one of those hinge points in my life that drew me into ministry. It was just so rewarding to get to spend time with these kids and get them up on skis and help build up their confidence, you know, from a snow plow, you know, going down the hill a little bit. And everything was fine at work. I never have looked back from then. And God has always been faithful. I started going on mission trips, never had an issue. When I sensed there might be an issue with a client, the funniest thing happened. I would, you know, be a little proactive and say, you know, I'm going to be out of town this next week. I'm going to be on a mission trip in Mexico with kids from our church. And it would open up all these great conversations. And you'll be able to call them. In fact, it was a lot. You know, I wish I could do something like that. You know, well, you can. You know, we all can when we make God that priority in our life. But I know for me, it took a long time to gain that confidence and courage, and God built me up in that to be able to act now and respond. Because when is there ever going to be a good time? We've got to make that time. Make it happen and let go. One more little story. So, you may have heard of another young man named John the Baptist. So, John the Baptist, before Jesus came along, he was the rock star around. Everybody thought, here's the Messiah. And people were flocking to him. Everybody wanted to know, are you the Messiah? And he's all, you know, I don't think so. I feel like God's called me to prepare the way for the one he's going to send. And then one day, he says, hey, I saw him. I saw him. I saw the Lamb of God. He's here. But people were still pressing into John. You know, because they just loved his approach. He was so new and so fresh and so exciting. And he just really had a celebrity status. And they're saying, are you sure it's not you? And he goes, I'm positive, especially since that baptism day. We kind of heard it all and saw it all when Jesus was baptized and heavens opened up and we heard God's voice. This is my son, my beloved son, who I am well pleased. But John could have enjoyed that celebrity status, being his, you know, having, setting his own direction, enjoying his followers. Yet he made it very clear to everyone around him that no, from now on, this is what it needs to look like to you and to me. And he's got this incredible line that to me really sums up how we need to prioritize our lives. He must become greater, and I must become less. And that is so hard to do. Okay, you guys are all basketball fans. I know, because I get the stressful test. Hey, the Warriors are only up by 40 points. And so, but you might have noticed over the weekend, you know, a little shift in authority. Right, Steve Kerr's back on the bench, the head coach that's been on a leave of absence because of his surgery gone awry over the summer, had been out for over 40 games. And Luke Walton, the young, gifted, bright assistant coach, has been taking the helm for Coach Kerr, getting all these accolades, all this attention, all this recognition. And everybody's wanting to see, how's it going to be when he's got to move over and give that head coach to see back up to Kerr when Kerr sits back down on the bench. And it's such an incredible message to kids, to adults, everywhere Friday night that was watching that game. One of our kids was sitting right behind us. Katie Cole got to actually be at the game. Which else? What do you got to do to be it? You got to get scout? Is that what I'm going to And so it was such a joy to see the humility in a guy like Luke Walton that's basically saying that same message. I've been here waiting for my head coach to come back and take the place that he deserves, and I'm here as an assistant to support him, and he's not after any accolades or any recognition. It's so rare anymore to see that. But how does that translate into our lives? Because it can be so easy to run our lives and to be our own head coach and to make our decisions without consulting anyone. But our life goal needs to be to let God reclaim all of our lives that we have constantly just pulled under our own authority and caused us to go in every which way. But when we can live a life that follows this kind of a direction where He becomes greater, He takes up more and more space. And it's not just in the beginning of the year that we get our schedule set and set those priorities, but it's an ongoing growth that every day, every week, every month, throughout the year, we're looking for ways to make His presence, His influence, His power greater in our lives. And my ambitions, my selfishness, my hardness of heart, less and less and less, and let His peace, His forgiveness, His love displace all that junk that I can carry into my day and into my family and into other places in my life that isn't doing anybody any good. But the more and more that I receive of God and make Him the priority, He's my head coach. He's my authority. He's who I'm looking for every day for direction, for leadership, for strength. He becomes greater. And my old self becomes less and less of my new self. That real ultimate self that God always intended to be gets freed up to live a life that reflects God's goodness in His heart to everyone around me. And so how can we help each other let God take over our lives and shine through us? It's going to take some surrendering. It's going to take some giving up some territory, giving up real estate in your life, in your heart, in your ambitions, your goals. And we thought, okay, well, what does God want here? I've been wanting this for so long, I don't think I've ever consulted Him on it. How can we take the time to bring Him in? You know, Jesus tells a very familiar story. He's probably speaking to many people that grew their own food. Some of us still do that, but not nearly as much as everybody did back then. And he says, if you really want to live, you've got to die first. What? It's a weird meaning. Because just like a seed falls to the earth and is buried, that's what has to happen before it can ever experience and discover who it was meant to be. And actually have life and grow. And while we're still walking around and living for our experience life until we let Him. Bring us to life and let ourselves be reborn in Him. And what that really means is just letting Him take leadership in our lives. It's as simple as that. But it can happen every day.
And it really needs to happen every day in our lives. And so, these are priorities for spiritual momentum. Fit God in first. Before we let any of that other stuff make its way and squeeze its way into our life, let's put those big rocks in first. And the heck with the timing, just jump in. Act now. God will go before you. He will work it out. He will protect your time. He will multiply it. Follow Him today. Get more involved today. And don't stop there. Continue giving up space in your life. Because the fact is, we control a lot of real estate in our lives, our hearts. There's many things we're probably yet to give up and acknowledge God's leadership in. And that's an ongoing process. It's probably going to take the rest of our lives as we discover more and more who we were meant to be in our relationship with God. And so, I want to say a little prayer as John comes back up and leads us in worship. And if you're new to Neighborhood Church, something we celebrate every Sunday is communion. And so, we invite you to the Lord's table to come and celebrate by recognizing that the bread is Jesus' body. And the cup represents His blood shed for us. And it's this meal, it's a special way we come close to Jesus as a church family and celebrate together. And we invite everyone who recognizes that to come. We invite our kids, everyone who wants to be part of that. And it's just a simple one-on-one time with you and Jesus. It's self-serve. Come and dip the bread in the juice and enjoy. And so with that, let me pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for proving your love and commitment to us. Lord, let us respond by making you first in our lives so that we can really feel you at work in our homes, at our jobs, in our relationships. And Lord, we'll know that you're close. We won't be rocked by tough circumstances that come along that normally cause us to doubt you, because we've been walking with you. And we have people in our lives that are reminding us of your closeness and your goodness. And so, Lord, let this year be the year where we really put you first and we trust you to sprinkle in all that other stuff according to what you know that we need. Lord, we just trust you to draw us closer to you. If we make you first in our lives, we pray this in your name. So, come when you're ready. And it's in your own timing that we invite you to the Lord's table while we sing these worship songs.